This is the sixth day of this June 2010 session. We'll leave behind the paramitas and go into a koan. I must say I am partial to koans. I love them. I love to work in them. Get new understandings each time out of them. Koan work is not a, let's do it once. Process. It's going back and back and back with them and just getting more riches out of them. Just to. So I get the best deal because I get to work over them many times. Am I going back to them? They become alive. They stop being old stories. Teachers of masters and masters and hermits and monks. Become companions of the way, guidelines. So I puzzle with the same issues that they did. Maybe it's not about a dog having Buddha nature or not. It might be something I deeply find disgusting. Person I deeply resent. Someone that symbolizes the worst of human nature. By asking ourselves, and making it our own koan, that you can answer them. It's not out there, the koan. It's in here. You need to become intimate with the koan. It's no good if it's out there. It has to be in here. if it's still out there, it becomes an intellectual analysis. It can be beautiful. It can be inspiring. You can feel the world opens up with a certain phrase, certain words, or the beauty of the poem. But until you feel it in your own bones, the agonizing question of the monk, describing himself as unworthy. And that's still a very lofty word for what he was feeling. How come? I just don't get it. That, the problem with that question, why don't I get the koan? Is that then you jump from there to, oh, well, let me see. I started, and you're off. You're off to your world of ideas and descriptions. Instead of saying, I haven't gotten it yet, is it because I don't have a Buddha nature? Don't I have one? Why don't I see it? If I do, why don't I see it? Make it personal. Make it yours. Carry this mu in your bones. Become your bones, muscles, your flesh, your skin. All of you has to become this mu, or this who, or this what, or this breath. So immersed in your breath, you transcend the duality of the observed and the observer. So totally into it, so immersed, so just being there, being here. Being in the practice, being is a weak word. You are the breath. Someone comes along and asks you, "Are you breathing?" And you say, "What? What breath? No. Yes. You're so much into it." And today I want to work on a koan. That's case number 2. Pachan's fox. And I did not bring the version we have here, the one we use in Dogsan, which is slightly different from the Shibayama version and the Eiken Roshi version. So I would like to ask the head monitor, Errol, if you could kindly bring from the Dogsan room the copy of the Mumonkan. Thank you. And we will continue, or we'll start with a few details about Pai Chang's life. Pai Chang is his Chinese name. Hyakujo is his Japanese name. And he was a student of the great Matsu. Japanese Basso. And Matsu, it's tricky because in Spanish we would separate the T-S-U into Mat Su, and here it's Ma Tzu. So I get a little confused, so bear with me, please. He's the awakening of Pai Chang is well known. It's actually become one of the preliminary koans. And this preliminary koan, or this story, goes, they were walking next to a pond in Chapin Mill. And they were just strolling around, and as they were walking, a wild duck flew up. And the great master, that's Ma Tzu, said, "What is that?" Pai Chang answered, "A wild duck." Ma Tzu, "Where did it go?" Pai Chang, "It flew away." And Ma Tzu turned around, grabbed his nose and twisted it. Pai Chang cried out in pain. "Or did it ever fly away?" Or, "When?" There's both versions. Where did it fly and when did it fly? Shibayama has where, and Eiken Roshi says when. Doesn't matter. Once walking in near Tepoztlán with Roshi Kaplow, we were with some other members of the Sangha, and one of them had brought her two children, who were very curious about Roshi. And so the mother, trying to impress her two sons, asked Roshi, tell them a story. Please, tell Roshi, tell them a story. And Roshi told them this story. And kind of twisted the nose of one of them, and he cried out. And mother was so flustered. And the little boy, the younger one, didn't come close after that. But the older one, the one that cried out in pain, he was quite impressed by it. So she just grabbed his nose and twisted it. Roshi, where did it go? Where did it go, this wild duck? This bird? This true nature? Where did it go away? Where is it? Yeah, it must be down here. I think I left it behind the books. Maybe I hid it. I wonder, I left it over there at the mill house, I think. True nature. Twist your nose. And here, Aiken Roshi uses the word, Pai Chang was thereafter intimate with himself and the world. It's a way to say he became enlightened. And he went on to a career of teaching that affects the entire course of the Zen history. He is a successor of Linchi school. He is an ancestor of the Linchi school, and revered as the founder of the monastic schedule of work, service, and zazen that Zen centers maintain with modification to the present time. So, if you're getting up in the morning very early, you know who to blame or who's responsible. He started it all in terms of rules and regulations, and he did the first ones. Pai Chang, and we're going to go to Shibayama. And says, one day Hyakujo, that's Pai Chang, that's his Japanese name, but since Shibayama is Japanese, he uses the Japanese names. One day Pai Chang was walking with his teacher Baso, that's Matsu. Seen a while, we saw that. Sorry, gone. Oh, shucks, I lost the second case. Some years later, Hyakujo came to have a Zen interview with Baso, Dokusan Rom. And after exchanging mondo on the subject of a hosu hanging in the alcove, Baso uttered a great katsu, which completely crushed everything in Hyakujo, was thoroughly enlightened. So the first one was just an opening. We don't know how many years went by. It says some years later. Could have been 20 or 30. You don't know. At this point, I mean, it doesn't say. It doesn't matter. The point I want to make is that it can take some time to ripen and to deepen our practice in the sense that it is continuous, it keeps going, it doesn't stop. When you think, that's it, wrong. When you think, I'm going back, wrong. You think, I've lost it. Wrong. Now I found my practice. Wrong. Or can it go? It's flown away. Ha. Next time someone says, I've lost my practice, watch out for your nose. Or can you practice go? This cuts. Many times cuts becomes a turning word. Called a turning word. A turning word is something that suddenly brings you to awakening. The teacher or someone else utters something that just completely cuts away with the dualistic mind state in which you are, of having or not having. Okay, well, let me read you the case since we have it here. It's a long, it's longest case in the Mumonkan. So, just for brevity of time, I shall go reading it and commenting on it at the same time. I have to go through it word by word. It'll take us 2 days. Hyakujo and the Fox. Case number 2. It's strange that Umon, when he did this compilation, first chose the Mumonkan. So brief, so direct, so to the point. And the second one, he chooses the longest one. One of the most intricate koans. And really have to work at it. Just to remind you that it's not, everything is not so obvious after it became obvious with Mu. You have to go to this one and what? especially because it's long, and since you have to memorize it, whenever Hyakujo delivered that teisho, a certain old man was always there listening to it, together with the monks, and when they left the hall, he also left. One day, however, he remained behind, and Hyakujo said to him, "Whom may you be?" Well, Hyakujo was giving teishos. And he probably noticed this person, but he didn't say a word until this person stayed. He probably saw him, saw that he stayed, and he went up to him and said, "Who may you be?" The old man replied, "I am not a human being." In the far distant past, in the time of Kashyapa Buddha, you know, we chant the names of seven Buddhas, the seventh being Shakyamuni Buddha, and before Shakyamuni Buddha is Kashyapa Buddha, so he's the sixth Buddha. And that just means that it was before Buddha's time. So where that's the far distant past. Many, many years back. In the time of Kashyapa Buddha. Those are not historical Buddhas, by the way. That was just a way of indicating passage of endless time. So it's the same here. Many in the far distant past. I was the head of this monastery. Wow. On one occasion, a certain monk asked me whether an enlightened man or woman, enlightened person, and we translated the momonk in Spanish, we changed it to person, because there's no gender there. Enlightened man could fall again under the chain of cause and effect. The chain of cause and effect is karma. The chain of cause and effect. This is what it is because something preceded it, and what's next will be next because this is the cause of that effect, and the effect becomes the cause of the next effect. And I answered that he could not, and that's basic Buddhism. That's correct in terms of the teaching. If you become a fully enlightened person, you're not reborn. You are free, like the Buddha said, "Goodbye, guys. I'm leaving. I'm not sorry. Keep your world here. Keep working. Sayonara." He said, I will not be reborn again. Based on that a fully awakened person goes to Nirvana directly and does not have to come back another lifetime. That's why he could not fall again under the chain of cause and effect. And I answer that he could not. Basic Buddhism. Because of this answer, I have for 500 lives been reborn as a fox. And there it is. Because of this answer, I have for 500 lives been reborn a fox. I now beg you to release me from this fox body by saying the turning words on my behalf. Turning words. That's a tall order. Because of this answer, I have for 500 lives been reborn a fox. So was his answer wrong? Yes or no? Buddhism says no. The Buddha says no. And yet, for 500 year lives, he's been reborn a fox. Been reborn a mosquito, it would have been 10,000 lives. Was reborn a fox. Foxes are considered in the eastern countries to be sly, just as in the Western world. Be sly, to be careful with them, but it's even worse there because they think they can put a spell on you. Fox looks at you and you're doomed. So it's not from the perspective of the folk tales. Being a fox is not good. People despise you. You have this power. You imitate things. You are tricky, you are not to be trusted. And you can just do all kinds of magic. So he tells him, I beg you to release me from this fox body by saying the turning words on my behalf. Then he asks Hyakucho, can an enlightened man fall again under the chain of cause and effect or not? An enlightened man fall again under the chain of cause and effect. The same question he received. Hyakucho answered, he does not ignore the law of causation. He does not ignore. That's the nub of the coin. Why can Roshi instead of fall or ignore, he has the word evade. That evade the law of cause and effect. Doesn't duck the law. It's not ignore, like ignore better because it's more direct. It's closer to the question. By changing the word, you're getting out into, well, it means something else. And maybe because it means something else, then you would start playing with words. And here, by being the exact same words, not ignore. The old man immediately awakened and, making his bows, said, "I am now released from rebirth as a fox, and my body will be found on the other side of the mountain. I wish to make a request of you. Please bury me as a dead monk." Hyakujo had the head monk strike the clappers and inform the monks that after the midday meal there would be a funeral service for a dead monk. The monks thought this odd, since all were in good health. There was no sick monk in the Nirvana Hall. Can you imagine the gossip? Hey, who was it? Who died? Well, he was here this morning. She was here this morning. He was here this morning. Who died? You know, we can die at any moment. We can die at any moment. So, who died? Who died? Who was it? They all looked at each other and began, and they wondered what the reason could be for this order. After they had eaten, Hyakujo led them to the foot of a rock on the far side of the mountain. And with his staff, poked out a dead body of a fox and had it cremated. In the evening, Hyakujo ascended the rostrum in the hall and told the monks the whole story. Obaku, one of his main students and one of his Dharma successors, Obaku, and he was a big man. The story says he was big built and tall, strong. Obaku thereupon asked the following question: "This old man lost here. This old man made a mistake in his answer and suffered rebirth as a fox for 500 years, you say. But suppose every time that he answered, he had not made a mistake. What would he have become?" Okay, so he doesn't make the mistake. Does he become a fox? Hyakujo replied, "Just come closer to me and I'll tell you. Come, 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 Obaku, come, come." Obaku then went up to Hyakujo and slapped him. The student, the monk, slapped the teacher. Oh, that's a no-no. You don't do that. I'm going slapping the teacher. Probably didn't slap him, but he went through the motions, and I'm sure Hyakujo, Pai Chang, turned around as if he were in great pain. Or Hyakujo, clapping his hands and laughing, exclaimed, "I thought that only the barbarian's beard is red, but I see you are a barbarian with a red beard." The barbarian with a red beard is Bodhidharma, the founder, our founder. Was he clapping his hands and laughing after he had been struck by Ōbaku? That's another little story in the koan. The main part is the fox, the turning words. And then, just to reinforce, here's Ōbaku asking Hyakujo. And Ōbaku doing something you shouldn't. Like, just like the monk who said that no. That said yes, sorry. And yet Hyakujo is happy that he hit him. Why? What are they playing, these two guys? Come to the commentary in a moment, and then the verse. This koan is dealing with karma, cause and effect. Cause and effect. Shibayama says, many people practice or started practicing because there was a guarantee that a holy saint, I don't know why he used it, or it was translated as holy saint, a holy saint does not go to heaven. Read completely. What is this old man? What is Hyakujo? Neither is a man, neither is a fox. Anything is just it. Anything is just causation. What else could we say? Is therefore said, a miscreant monk does not fall into hell. This very place is the absolute place. There is no hell to fall into. It further says, a holy saint does not go to heaven. This very place is the absolute place. There is no heaven to ascend to. When the whole universe is causation itself, how can there be falling or not falling? You may therefore currently call it not falling, or just as correctly, not ignoring. Even a thought of knowledge moved through not falling and not ignoring, you are in error. A second of difference is at once a vital difference. Poles apart and you are turned into a fox and fall into hell. You could play around by going around and around. Okay? You can ignore. And not ignoring is right. Not falling is right. Or both are wrong. Or the first one is right, the second one is wrong. The first one is right, the second one wrong. And you can get into this endless game of words that is so confusing when you work at this. Okay, well, the first time he was wrong, the second time he was right, but then are both right, are both wrong? When don't you ignore your karma? When do you cause your karma? How can you uproot your karma? How can you be in hell and enjoy it as a fox? The essence, and Shibayama says, the essence of this koan can really be appreciated when one experiences the fact of no mind. He then, or she then, does not make such dualistic discriminations as not falling and not ignoring, or whether the one is good and the other not. Falling and ignoring are both broken through and transcended. So here you have again the yes and no. The opposites, duality. In order to demonstrate this koan, you have to go beyond yes and no. Beyond not ignoring and ignoring. Not falling and not ignoring. Sure. How does it work? How does it happen? How do you work at it? How do you work at it? The commentary says, not falling under the law of cause and effect. Why was he turned into a fox? When according to Buddhism, That's right. He's right. He said the proper words. Why was he turned into a fox? Not ignoring the law of causation, why was he released from a fox body? If in regard to this you have the one eye to see into this, you will know that the former head of the monastery did enjoy his 500 lives as a fox. That's the clue to the koan. If you can see into this, you will know that he enjoyed his lives as a fox. How come? If he was quote-unquote punished becoming a fox. Or was he? Or was he? And the verse. Not falling, not ignoring. Two faces, but one die. As in dies. Two faces of a coin. Not falling, not ignoring. Two faces of the coin. All translations say it's a dice, six sides. It says two faces. Not ignoring, not the falling. Hundreds and thousands of regrets. What do they mean by hundreds and thousands of regrets? Who had regrets? The fox? Here it says he had did enjoy his 500 lives. Yakujod, Pai Chan, hundreds and thousands of regrets. In Roshi, he says 1,000 mistakes, 10,000 mistakes. Mistakes is more doesn't have the poetry of regrets. Always having regrets is not mistakes. I regret I didn't call such a person. I should have gone to see that. I regret I did not pay attention. Not ignoring, not falling. Hundreds and thousands of regrets. So, let's avoid the regrets of after Sishin, of why didn't I work harder? Why didn't I? The eye is there, notice that eye. Let's avoid them by letting ourselves go. Just let ourselves be. No, not ourselves. Just be the practice. Just be the practice. We'll stop here and have the four vows.